On Tuesday's front page is Europe struggles with the debt crisis. All eyes are on German Chancellor Angela Merkel. An endorsement from Republican Tim Pawlenty as the remaining candidates face off in their second debate. And the role of women in the rebels' victory over Libyan strongman Muammar Gaddafi. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says German Chancellor Angela Merkel is facing a far-reaching choice. More than any other European politician, she'll be the one to decide whether to rescue the euro or decide the political will simply isn't there. Her ruling coalition is splintering over the Greek bailout. U.S. officials are worried that if she doesn't act decisively, bank lending could freeze up. Fears that the debt crisis was getting worse slammed European stocks on Monday, but Wall Street rallied by the end of the session. The Dow Jones Industrials gained nearly 69 points to close at 11,061.12. Also on Tuesday's front page, details on an endorsement from former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty. He dropped out of the Republican presidential race. Now he's come out for Mitt Romney. Tuesday's Times says that's a sign that parts of the GOP establishment are trying to counter Texas Governor Rick Perry. Perry's outspokenness about Social Security has some Republican insiders worried. Detroit is betting the future is a two-tier wage system. The newest Chrysler workers earn about $14 an hour, half what longtime employees make. With the economy slumping and job creation a national priority, the big three automakers are finding there is demand for jobs even though they pay less. Last year, one Chrysler plant put the brakes on job seekers after it got 10,000 applications. In the Libyan rebels' victory over Colonel Muammar al-Qaddafi, women took on roles they never imagined. They hid rebels, they collected money, they also ran guns, and sometimes they fired them. Times reporter Anne Bernard says it won't be easy for women to cement their influence in the new Libya, but many say they can't go back to the way things were. Minnesota's largest school system is caught up in one of the country's hottest culture wars, how homosexuality should be discussed in class. Conservative Christians and gay rights advocates were already at odds when six students went to court over the summer. They said school officials had failed to stop relentless anti-gay bullying. Also, in the last 2 years, eight students there have committed suicide. Much of that school district is in Representative Michelle Bachmann's congressional district. She hasn't spoken out about the policy debate or the suicides. School officials say they're caught in the middle. Here's something fathers probably won't want to hear. After a man becomes a parent, testosterone takes a dive. Times reporter Pam Bellick has details on the first comprehensive study to measure that most male of hormones.
The more involved they are in being a father, the more they read, the more they play with their children, the more they change diapers, the lower their testosterone drops. Some of the scientists I talked to said that men might look at this and say, oh my gosh, I should stay away from fatherhood. But the scientists would prefer if men thought of it in a different way and instead said, oh, this is a biological mechanism, and what it's really saying is that men are meant to be involved parents. They're meant to care for their children.
Times reporter Pam Bellick. Inside Tuesday's Times, a gasoline pipeline exploded in Nairobi. Officials say more than 100 people may have died. Many lived in a nearby slum. They were trying to catch gasoline that was leaking out before the wind shifted. That sent embers from garbage fires toward the pipeline. There was no time to escape. President Obama sent his $447 billion jobs package to Capitol Hill.
This is the bill that Congress needs to pass. No games, no politics, no delays.
Jack Liu of the Office of Management and Budget says it would cover the cost by limiting itemized tax deductions for things like donations to charity. That would raise $400 billion. The other $47 billion would come from changing some tax rules for oil and gas companies and hedge funds. It's been 40 years since the bloodiest and most infamous prison siege in American history. The Attica prison riot ended with sheriff's deputies and correction officers storming in. Tuesday's Times says then-Governor Nelson Rockefeller called President Richard Nixon to claim victory. Here's what Nixon told him.
The courage you showed and the judgment in not granting amnesty, it was right, and I don't care what the hell the papers or anybody else says. I don't care what they say. I think that you had to do it that way, because if you would have granted amnesty in this case, it would have meant that you would have had prisons in an uproar all over this country.
That's right.
A historian doing research on the assault found that tape in the National Archives, along with others that have apparently never been played before. 10 prison employees and 29 inmates died at Attica. On the tapes, Rockefeller revealed that state officials had worried the assault would take more lives. They went ahead because 4 days of negotiations hadn't accomplished anything. The government is expanding E. coli testing in meat. The Agriculture Department is adding 6 new strains of toxic E. coli to the list of things ground beef can't contain. The agriculture's top food safety official says this is a step that will prevent illness and save lives. The American Meat Institute, speaking for the industry, says the costs will exceed the benefits. Tuesday's Business Day section says McGraw-Hill is splitting itself in two. Activist investors have been pressing for a more aggressive breakup. The plan is for one of the new companies to focus on the markets and financial information. It will take in the Standard & Poor's and J.D. Power & Associates units. The other company will concentrate on education and textbook publishing. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.